So a few years ago, I took a group of teenagers on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And I learned on that trip that when a young person is offered a choice between summer school and going on a pilgrimage, his choice to go on a pilgrimage is not necessarily an indication of his desire to see Jerusalem or to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. I had two teenage boys who really struggled to wait in long lines to see the birthplace of Jesus, especially when there was a Kentucky Fried Chicken down the street. The holy sites could never compete with KFC or McDonald's or the chance to sleep in. I became quite judgmental. We had come all of this way, so why not put a little effort into connecting with an unfamiliar place and what it had to offer? One day on that trip, our guide drove us out into the wilderness, where he instructed us to remain in silence for 30 minutes, watching for the rising of the sun. And it was one of the most powerful spiritual experiences of my life. I had never seen a terrain like that before. And as the sun rose, I felt a wave of healing and restoration. The past year had been an extraordinarily difficult one with significant losses. But in the face of that rising sun, I felt seen, loved, and blessed by God. In the absence of word and sound, that holy landscape invited me into an experience of the divine. And it also inclined my heart back toward the teenagers in my care. And creation can do that. Some people will say that we have a written scripture, but that we have also received the scripture that is creation, noting the ways in which rivers, mountains, trees, animals, and stars bear witness to a loving creator. Both forms of scripture require some level of attention and a willingness to slow down and to listen. Or as St. Gregory the Great wrote, to renew our capacity to wonder. All around us, life comes into being. Seeds transform into plants, and fruit grows on the vine. These things are always available on the periphery to notice and marvel at, but they often become commonplace. Things we drive past on our way to somewhere important. Things that serve as a nice backdrop, but not necessarily things with which we interact or deeply admire as being themselves holy. If we let it, nature can facilitate encounters with the divine. Such was the experience of Moses, who was out one day tending to his sheep when he was struck by the sight of a burning bush, ablaze but not consumed. He needn't have noticed it. It wasn't endangering his sheep. But he turned aside to give it his attention, saying, "I must look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." Seeing that Moses had paid attention and turned aside from his path, God called out to him and commissioned him to return to Egypt and bring the Israelites out from their slavery into the place God was preparing for them. As Moses responded to the calling of his name, God said these words, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Some might argue that the ground became holy because God chose to show up in that bush on that spot of land. But it is also possible that the ground had always been holy because it was part of the created world, in itself testifying to a God who called creation very good and blessed it, and then called humanity to exist in relationship with all created things. What if holy ground is always speaking out to us and inviting us to pay attention and to receive something God wants to share with us, whether that is a blessing or a calling to serve in some way? I will admit that I do not currently have good habits around tending to the natural world around me. I move from my apartment to my car, and from my car to my place of work, without significant thought or observation of the trees, the sky, and the landscapes. Although today, a deer jumped out in front of my car, and I did pay attention in that moment, a lot of attention. But when I started working at Good Sam, I became aware that the stretch of my drive between I-90 and church was strangely calming. There was something about the fir trees and green spaces that I passed that caused me to breathe more deeply. And I found myself longing to move out of the city so that I could be surrounded by more green things. And I did. But then I slid back into habits of minimal engagement with the world outside my apartment. And so I often live rather out of sync with the created world, spending more time engaging with technology and manufactured things than with things that are alive, and alive with invitations to encounter God. I suspect that this contributes not only to missing moments of wonder, but also to feeling disconnected from soil, water, air, and the animal world. And that disconnection enables disregard for the needs of the earth. If I cannot heed its invitations, I cannot heed or value its requests. In the case of Moses, that bush was burning, not just so that he could have a spiritual experience, but because God wanted Moses to do something on behalf of a people trapped in slavery. I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I know their sufferings. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. In that moment, humanity was invited into partnership with God in order to confront a particular form of oppression. An oppression that Moses himself had escaped and left behind. That holy ground summoned Moses, drew him into an encounter with God, and allowed him to become mindful of an oppression that God sought to end. What if living in sync with the created world would allow us to be similarly beckoned by God? What if the holy ground upon which we live is always inviting attention and calling us to partner with God in confronting oppression with redemptive action? What might we understand or imagine if we created space to listen to the earth's invitations? Moses was called to tend to the needs of a people. But in our own time, we might recognize that the earth itself is in need. Perhaps God is saying to us, I have observed, I have heard the cry of the planet, and I know its suffering, so come. I will send you to tend to the holy ground that surrounds you, treat it as such, free it from the ways in which it is currently oppressed. Perhaps we are not only asked to be spiritually served by the land, but in turn, spiritually serve that which we were always meant to be in relationship with. Indigenous peoples of North America have tended to speak of aspects of creation as siblings. They do not distance themselves or place themselves over and above nature. Instead, they cultivate practices of interdependence and deep respect. Over the last year, I have had occasion to hear Indigenous Christians recommending these practices within the Episcopal Church, asking us to move from a subdue and rule orientation to one of relationship with creation. I think pollution and exploitation of natural resources would be harder if one thought of waterways and the ground as beloved siblings. But that might first necessitate finding ways to quiet ourselves enough to engage with the holy ground around us, to put ourselves into situations where we can listen to and heed creation and the ways in which it testifies to God. Today's gospel speaks to picking up one's own cross, which is not so much a call to go out and seek suffering as it is to stop making self-interest a chief concern, to recognize suffering as a reality of life, and then to orient ourselves to habits of healing, humility, and liberation, following in the footsteps of Jesus. The cross is, of course, such a violent image, and we may struggle to welcome it as a practice that would set us free. Perhaps we can use the other metaphor that we have been given today in our readings. Moses was asked to remove his sandals, to place his feet directly on the ground, in acknowledgement that the ground itself was holy. What might we remove in our own lives that would enable us to experience the holiness of the created world and to heed its invitations? What self-interest might we joyfully sacrifice in serving the needs of the earth and those who depend upon its health? Remove your sandals, for the place on which you stand is holy ground.